Hi, welcome to the Drunken Whalers, a podcast where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored, I think. I'm Sarah, and I'm joined by Claire. We haven't recorded in a really long time, so it's going to be great.
I think we haven't recorded since before Christmas.
It's been at least 3 months. We're both completely different people because we've played Kingdom Hearts 3 since then, so...
Yeah, I think it's honestly been since, like, before the new year.
I think it was before either of us went home for Christmas, and you went home for Christmas early, so...
So it's been, like, yeah, it's been, like,
it's been a long time.
3 months.
Anyway.
Holy fuck, let's see if we remember how to do this.
Bear with us. Oh, also, we're not even talking about a video game, so it's going to be wild. What are we talking about, Claire? Yes.
We are talking about The Wormwood Deceit, which is a Dishonored comic. Hell yeah.
I think we probably said in the previous episode we were going to talk about the book. We're not talking about the book because we haven't read it yet.
Yes, exactly. We haven't read it yet at all.
I was going to start it like last long. Night. I didn't. It's fine.
Yeah. I also said that I was going to start it and did not.
But that's fine.
It's all fine. It's good, because we remembered that chronologically the Wormwood Deceit becomes before the book.
You remembered that. I had no idea.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know when the book came out, but I'm pretty sure based on various math we did.
We checked the dates. It seems to be true. I don't think they actually intersect, so it's fine. Although I haven't read the book yet, so fucking who knows.
I've Googled it for us. The comic came out August 3rd, 2016, the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the book came out September 27th, 2016.
So
we're going in the perfect order.
Sure.
But they were released pretty much concurrently.
Yeah, that was like right before Dishonored 2 came out, right? So they're probably like, hey, look at this tie-in stuff for our game. I think it came out like November of 2016.
That was going to be my guess. I know it's 2016. Yeah, November 2016. So, yeah.
Also, very importantly, I have wine today, which I have never had before. Very exciting. I thought I wasn't going to be able to drink it because I didn't have a corkscrew, but it's barefoot, so it's twist off.
I don't know why you don't have a corkscrew, and frankly, I'm in shock.
Because I haven't drunk wine
every
in the
adult...
entire year that I lived in this apartment.
Okay, you know what? Fine. That's valid.
Instead of judging me, let's talk about this comic.
Okay.
So it's like, there's like a little intro thing at the beginning that's basically like, it's been 12 years since everything that happened in Dishonored 1.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says, pretty much. So it's, the year is 1850, not 1851, it's 1850.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with Corvo in a fight.
Yes, and he's fighting the Watch, and he's like, damn, been a long time since I fought the Watch.
He's like, oh, I wonder if this is going to be as much work as I remember. It's just like him pitted against 12 men, and they're all running at him like, it's only one man, what are you waiting for?
Which is like, it's great foreshadowing for Dishonored 2, where people are going to call him an old man constantly.
I know, they call him, like, they make so much fun of him for being old in this
He's
moment.
Not that old, he's like 51.
That's like younger than my mom.
Like he's really not that old. It's like okay, y'all need to chill.
Okay, but like how old do people die of Dishonored?
I guess that's true, but the life expectancy is not high.
Like I'm gonna guess it's like fairly low.
Yeah, I mean that tracks. But like it's whatever, it's fine. Everyone's mean, so let's just jot that down.
Yeah. So yeah, the guard is all running at him and he's like systematically taking him down like, hey, so like one dude can bring down the entire emperor and I'm way better at this than y'all. And when I was 10, I walked uphill both ways in the snow.
He's literally like, when I grew up in Zirconos with like, I was like fighting people with bottles that were like twice my size and I still won. You guys suck. It's great.
It's so funny.
His narration is like really funny. It's like not necessarily what I would have expected.
No, it's like a little, like, it's like very dry humor.
Yeah, he's very wry. He's a wry man.
Yeah, it's great. This is like the first real instance we've had of like his internal dialogue or what he's thinking. Because,
yeah,
Dishonored 1 doesn't talk. But yeah, so yeah, he
And
continues.
Turns out he's just like this.
Turns out he is just like this. So yeah, so he continues to fight everyone. And the last person he fights is woman who is doing a much better job than everyone else.
Yeah, he's like, damn, like, you're actually not terrible. Good job.
Yeah, and all of the scenes are, like, they're just, like, silhouettes of the two of them fighting on red and orange backgrounds. It's very nice.
Yeah, the art is good. I don't know anything about art, but it's good.
It's just got a lot of colors, and I like colors. I'm gay for them.
Yeah, but yeah. Sure. That's valid. So, just yes. Like Delilah.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, so he beats everyone, including the really good girl. And he's like, yeah, she's pretty solid. Like, maybe she's the one I've been looking for. And then he disarms her.
Yeah, and yep. So, yeah. And then afterwards, he basically chats with this lady from the guard named Alexi, who...
Yes, Alexi Mayhew, who will show up in Dishonored 2. She's not...
She's great.
She is great. But yeah, she hasn't shown up
yet. She doesn't really do anything in this comic, but she's just here.
Yeah, basically the only thing we really know of her is that, like, right now is that she and Emily were, like, basically kids together.
Yeah, but they're pals.
It. And so she's, like, the captain of the guard. So she's talking to Corvo, and she's like, how you doing, old man?
I know, it's like, listen, rude, first of all. You're talking to your boss, basically?
Yeah.
Like, this is the royal protector, but fine, whatever.
So yeah, she's like, how you doing, old man? He's like, yeah, some of those people didn't suck. And she's like, oh yeah, Martha Coddings, right? And the only like, good correct. One.
It's like, yeah, everyone sucks, but Martha Coddings is good. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah, so they continue to chat, and basically he tells her that he, Corvo, is looking for an apprentice, like, you know, to have a royal protector when he, I presume he's just never going to retire, so when he gets too old to do this job.
The retirement plans in Dunwall ain't great. Let me tell you, they do not have 401ks.
Well, when you die when you're 15, you don't need one.
It's true. But yeah, and basically, like, Alexi's like, so do you want an heir? Or, like, do you just want to, like, have family again? And he's like, no, I'm just, like, trying to, like, keep Emily safe. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. I'm an old man with my daughter.
Well, she's like, are you sure you just don't want to marry her? And he's like, no.
I know. Martha is like, it was like, wow, this is such a wild thing to have it's been like, written. Into it's like, absolutely not. Comic. Like,
it's so
no,
weird.
I don't want this 50-year-old man to marry a woman I presume is roughly 25 to 35. I was like, you know what? I can be okay without this. I didn't need this insinuation.
I know. Well, Corvo also was just like, ugh, no.
Yeah. What a good dude.
Probably because he's not over his dead wife, but we can talk about that when we do Dishonored 2.
Oh yeah. You know we will. So yeah, so the scene phases out. He tells Alexi, basically, like, tell Watch Officer Coddings to be ready for my orders. And then it's just a bunch of scenes where he's wearing his fucking creepy mask and jumping off roofs.
I know, I hate having to look at it because it's not in a first person point of view anymore.
Yeah, it is, like, disturbing.
But yeah, and they like, show him, like, using his powers. And in the, like, panel art show when he's, like, using dark vision, they, like, have the people outlined in yellow, and it was very cool.
Yeah, there's also a really cool, like, set of panels where he jumps off a roof, then possesses a raven on another roof, and you know because the raven is glowing, and then turns back into a human, which was, like, really neat.
Good shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's basically just running around Dunwall being a vigilante, trying to, like, it's, like, not really clear.
I can't believe Corvo's just Daredevil.
Where's the Catholic guilt?
Well, he apparently didn't get any of that because he's a heretic, so.
I see your point. But yeah, but I don't know what he's trying to do here. I guess he's, like, trying to figure out some block. Yeah, he's trying to stop crime, just, like, figure out some black market shit.
Yeah, he's like, there's, like, some smugglers, and I'm, like, eavesdropping, and one of them is named Sly Harold, and they keep calling him that.
I know, his friend is Dapper Ronald.
Yes, and they call each other, like, they never just call each other Ronald, it's like, Dapper Ronald. It's like, are you guys okay? Like,
I would never call my friend, hey, Dapper Ronald.
Oh, you're not gonna call me Dapper Sarah? Hey, Dapper Claire.
I'm gonna be Sly Claire.
That's pretty good.
Like, that's pretty fun. I guess if you had a fun nickname like that, you'd do it. You could use it all the time.
Anyway, there's a bunch of smugglers. Corvo beats them all up.
Yeah. One of them yells, like, hey, we have a spy here. And I was like, what the fuck, Corvo? And it is not Corvo. It is, like, a young boy
Yeah, and Corvo's like, shit, I can't let them kill this small child, so I guess I'll deal with them.
I know. Then he uses all of his outsider powers, which notably the thing I wrote down was he thinks, like, this is really useful, but the powers come at the cost of knowing I'm no longer entirely human.
Yeah, that was kind of wild. It was like, I know, I also wrote that down because I was like, that, since when?
I did not know. I was like, I don't know if you just like, is this like, you know, on a metaphysical level, or are you just sitting here like, you know, using these powers means I'm not entirely what I used to be? Or does it mean you're just like a little bit not human, like a metahuman?
I guess, I assume he means like in his like soul or whatever, but also it's interesting to me that it's like he thinks about his powers that way. I guess because like in Dishonored 1, you have no idea how Corvo feels about anything, especially the outsider. And yeah. Like, in this comic, he just keeps being like, the outsider.
It's also like been 12 years. It's like, it seems like if you had the time to be having these thoughts, like you should have had them like 12 years ago.
Like, yeah, but I guess he's reconsidering his life and he's like, ugh.
That's fair. That's, you know, that's fair. He's reaching retirement age. That's the time.
Yeah. Oh, also one of the gang members or whatever says like outsider's oath as an ooh, exclamation, which I thought just sound like, it's like, what does that mean?
I don't know. It's fun though.
It's alliterative, so I guess that's fine. Mm-hmm. And this gang is called the Roaring Boys, and I thought they looked like Hatters, but apparently they're just a split. They're just like split off from the Hatters.
Oh, that's why they're wearing hats.
Which is why they're wearing hats, yeah. Because it's like, oh, they split off of the Hatters when the Geezer died, which that happened.
We did do that. Yeah, we did that 12 years ago.
12, so that's been a while.
Yeah. So they're like a pretty, not an old gang, but they're like not a baby gang.
Old new gang, teen gang.
Teen gang, the youths. So yeah, so Corvo's just going all around, using his powers, and one of the gang members calls in illegal tall boys.
I hate, you know, and Corvo's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Which is, I really like, I appreciate that tall boys seem to be as bad as they were if you were playing the game.
Yeah, it's just like a universal approach. And also at the same time the tall boys come in, Martha fucking Coddings shows up with like some of the City Watch, and Corvo's like, god damn it, now I really fucking can't use my goddamn powers because everyone's watching me. So exasperated.
It's so relatable also because it's like, yeah, doing the game without your powers is hard. It is impossible to kill the tall boys otherwise.
Yeah. So yeah, so they're all fighting, and Corvo like tries to take the boy into custody because not only is he a young boy, he's a criminal.
And, like, I mean, he wasn't really doing anything, but whatever.
I know, it could just be that, like, custody's and, like, we don't know who this boy is, but still.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the boy's like, no way. He fucking runs.
And leaves. But.
But he leaves behind a gold locket.
Drama. What's in the locket?
Well, we don't know yet. We have to wait a little bit to get there.
I clearly didn't write down anything that happened in between that.
Basically, just there's another joke where Coddings is like, so like, tall boys were before my time, but not yours. Any tips?
And he's like, have magic powers? That would help.
Yeah. And then they basically take down the tall boys and they discuss that, like, someone is providing the smugglers with contraband.
That's bad, probably.
It is bad. Then Corvo picks up the necklace. What's in the necklace?
It's a picture of his sister, Beatrice.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. Have we even mentioned that he has a sister? Do we even know that yet?
I don't think so.
Well, so he has a sister named Beatrice. She's clearly not around anymore.
Yeah. He's, like, quite distraught by finding this. And he just, like, leaves the area being like, I gotta find that boy, right?
Yeah.
Gotta find the boy.
Because now I have to know how he's connected to my sister. And then it cuts back to some fucking evil, ominous people.
Yes, they're surrounded by, like, a bunch of paintings in a manor, and they're all like, he got the bait, right? He got the bait? He took it? He took the bait? Did he? Did he take the bait?
And they were like, yeah, he took the bait.
Yeah, we got it.
It's like, some bald dude, and then some lady who has, like, roses, and she, like, pretty visually distinctly looks like she's, like, she looks like the witches, basically, because she's got, like, flowers, and kind of the same hairstyle that, like, a lot of the witch models had.
Yeah, she's definitely a witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's super a witch, so that's probably fine.
And that's issue one of our four-issue comics.
One-fourth of the way through. Yeah. Comic pacing is so wild.
It really is. I think a lot of this is going to be really confusing, because, like, when you're reading this in comics, the way they split between Martha and Corvo is, like, really interesting. But it's going to be
But, like, if you're explaining it, it's like,
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll just muddle through.
Yep. So issue two starts. It's got a little plaque that says Cirkonos, a lifetime ago. Roughly and it's like, 50 it's all years.
It's not that long.
Not long ago.
But it's all done in, like, muted, like, kind of, like, greens and browns. It's, like, a completely different color scheme than the rest of the comic.
Yeah, and this is because this is, you know, taking place in Cirkonos, and, like, it's, like, a lot
for
more...
their sun.
Yeah, their sun. It's, like, a lot more... I guess tropical's, like, not quite the right word, because Cirkonos is not really tropical, but they have, like, palm trees.
Yeah, it's like tropical, but also it's just Greece and like maybe Italy. Like I don't know.
A southern Italian Grecian beach. Basically, it's like a nice scene of Corvo and Beatrice as kids, and they're sitting on the beach in the shade, watching all the ships come into port. And they talk about
it's very
how
cute.
It is really cute. And they talk about how Beatrice wants to leave Karnaca, and Corvo is, you know, insisting, you know, whatever they do, they're going to do together, and he's going to be a soldier and protector, and blah, 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 blah. That is not the case.
it's so sad, because it's, like, kind of comes off as if like, Beatrice is the one who wants to leave, mm-hmm. and, like, they talk about how she kind of wants to go to Dunwall, and basically Corvo is like, well, if you go to Dunwall, I want to go to Dunwall, too. But, like, he did go to Dunwall, but without her.
Yeah, and, like, not because anything necessarily happened to her, like, she left without telling anyone. So it's like, it's not even that, like, and, you know, something dire happened, it's that she made her way out without him,
without telling him, never contacted him again. He has no idea if she's alive.
It's been that's roughly fine. Like 45 years since he's seen her,
since yeah
god,
that's so, it's so rough. It made me really sad. I was like, I hate this.
I knew it was going to make you really sad.
I like messaged Claire after I started this, like, oh my fucking god.
I believe what you messaged me. You messaged me. You knew, bitch. That is what you sent me.
You did know, bitch.
I did know. I read this comic several years ago when it first came out, so I knew.
You did know. I did not know. I've never read this comic before.
Yeah.
Oh, I just feel like this reflects, like, a lot of the, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of, like, NPC, like, notes you would find in, like, the game are, like, about, like, oh, my, like, friend or, like, sister or girlfriend or whatever, like, disappeared, I have no idea what happened to them, and, like, this world kind of sucks, so it's impossible to communicate, and people mm-hmm. just, like, get lost easily.
Yeah, this is definitely a
anyway,
world in which...
I'm sad.
It is really sad, but, like, yeah, like, the world building on, like, how often, like, people get lost, whether or not it's at sea, or, like, they leave to make their fortunes somewhere else, or, like, I guess it's, like, a pretty, like, common thread when you have, like, world building and, like, cities that are, like, so full of, like, class disparity.
But, yeah, like, there's, like, so plagues much, and everyone like, just dies.
Yeah, it's, like, we, the people in the slums, are desperately trying to get out. And, like, we desperately hope the person who's gone managed to do
is, like,
that,
doing
but
well.
We can't know.
Yeah, no, and, like, chances are they're dead in a ditch, so.
Yeah, chances are they got the rat plague and died, bunny, but okay.
But, hey, maybe Beatrice is doing great. Who knows?
Who knows? So, yeah, so Corvo shows up at, like, some trade merchant's house looking for info on the smuggled boy. The dude's like, LMAO, get lost, whatever.
He shows up as himself, like, as the royal protector Corvo Otano.
So later he shows up, like, I'm gonna show up like a masked villain.
With a knife.
It's very telling. So he thinks to himself, like, in the end, they tell me everything. They always do. And the dude does. He gives him the name of the man who now controls the smuggling market, whose name is Broken Tom.
The fucking names in this, I swear to God.
No. And then we cut to Martha Coddings, who is on orders from the Lord Protector. And everyone on the watch is, like, laughing at her, like, we don't know if we're, like, impressed or, like, if we feel bad for you.
I wrote down that Alexi says skullduggery with Corvo Etano. I don't know whether, like, which I just thought that phrasing was very funny.
It is really funny. It's like, shenanigans with Corvo Etano.
And yeah, Martha's like, yeah, I feel like this isn't good either, but, like, whatever.
So, yeah, so she kind of does the same thing, like, hunts people down on orders from Corvo. She kicks in the door to a brothel to find a dude named Osric.
Who's, and he, like, goes out the window.
Butt naked. And she follows him, like, can I have a word? This guy is literally running nude across the fucking rooftops. And he yells back, always a pleasure to help the brave women and men of the watch. It's like, I don't think that's true.
I can definitely not, but fine. So, yeah, it's, like, a very funny scene because she's just, like, kicking this dude around. Like, through a bunch of windows. It's like, this cannot be good.
Yeah, so, yeah, she tackles him. And she also thinks, you know, he tells me everything he knows. They always do. Which is, there's, like, so much really good framing between, like, Corvo and Martha. Because they're both children who came from Sirkonos, like, worked their way up. Or, like, really impressive skills for the City Watch. And I just really
they love to have people be foils to Corvo.
Yeah.
And it's good.
And Martha's like a really obvious one.
Basically, whenever someone's from Sirkonos, it's like, oh yeah.
That's a foil.
Wow. But yeah, and then basically the information she gets, or does it flip back to Corvo?
I think it does, but I wrote down all the Martha stuff first because I was like, that's exhausting. Me too.
Basically, she goes to Wormwood Way, which, hey, I wonder what the name of this comic is, which is just, like, some weird, like, bazaar where people sell, like, occult shit, basically.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty much, like, the, like, heretical center of the city where, like, alchemists and witches and, like, bone charm crafters live, which was really interesting.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, how come we never went here? I mean, I know it's because you didn't invent it yet, but, like...
Well, it's just interesting because it's like I always assumed that it was much more secretive than being like, yeah, it's on fucking Wormwood Way. But like these people have like a little community.
Get a bone charm.
Yeah. And at the same time, Corvo is sneaking into, I think, like an old ironworks building.
Yeah, it's the Barrington Ironworks.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, how come they're not going to the same place?
Yeah. So he is in there and he's looking around. And he thinks he sees a bunch of kids in cages, which is with his void gaze, but it's actually just a bunch of monkeys.
And he's like, wait a minute, was somebody trying to trick me? And then it's like, yes, somebody was trying to trick you. And yes. He gets, like, attacked by Broken Tom, who's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, Broken Tom has, like, giant metal electrical arms and wants to fucking tase him.
And also, like, he has, like, bone charms, like, grafted into his body so that, like, I think one, like, somehow he, like, makes it so Corvo can't use his powers.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
This would be an interesting boss if I was playing this as a video game.
I know, like, it would be really, really neat. So they're fighting, and by fighting, I mean Corvo's getting beat the fuck up by Broken Tom.
His teeth kicked in.
Yeah. And while that's all happening, Martha fucking kicks in the door to a building and finds a dead dude and is like, wow, that sucks.
That didn't work out. And then there's, like, this painting on the wall, and something jumps out of the painting and tries to kill her.
Yeah, they both think, yeah, this is carefully planned treachery.
Weird. Also, so the thing in the painting looked like a Dusk from Kingdom Hearts, but also I've just been only thinking about Kingdom Hearts.
No, that's
recently,
exactly what I also thought.
Yes,
it, like.
It looks like that.
It's, like, all long
so,
and
like,
white
and wiggly and weird.
With, like, a giant mouth.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, and so it attacks Martha, and Martha's thinking, like, okay, so, like, I grew up with Tales of Dark Magic, but I don't believe in that. But also this thing from the painting is killing me. Gotta keep my head. I'm gonna shoot my entire gun into the painting.
And it works.
It does work. And while she does that, Corvo, who's still getting beat the fuck up by Broken Tom, jumps out the window into the fucking ocean.
I swear to God, it's into the river. It's in the Red Haven.
So sorry. He jumps out the window into the fucking river.
Which and he, like, slowly, like, washes up to shore, and, like, his, the kid that from before, like, drags him out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this happens to Corvo a lot, because this happened to him in Dishonored also.
Drowning is symbolic.
Yeah. Or there's just a lot of rivers in Dunwall and it's very easy to get kicked into them.
That's true. Like, I bet if I, like, lived in Venice, I bet my, like, likelihood of, like, falling into a canal would just go way up.
But hey, at least he got saved by this kindly kid instead of Dowd. So that's better, I guess.
That is much better.
And that's the end of the issue.
Yep. And now we're on issue 3.
Yay!
This one starts off with Martha, who's like, wow, that thing tried to fucking kill me.
Like, damn, like, an officer of the watch shouldn't believe in witchcraft, but I guess I believe in witchcraft now.
Yeah. I also don't know if I describe what Martha looks like. She's like a buff black lady with dreads and a guard uniform, and I love her.
She's very cool. She, like, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, like, there's not, like, a ton of description about her. She also never changes her outfit or anything. I just think it's important.
Yeah, we, like, know nothing about her other than, like, she's from Sirkonos, she kicks ass.
Yeah, pretty much. So she is, like, investigating this painting, and she finds a gold signature on the corner, and she thinks, like, you know, if an artist signs their paintings, like, is this a sorcerer signing their work like an artist? Which is a very interesting question, Martha. Like, top notch, would you like to do a podcast? So she looks at that painting, and she's like, huh, so this is definitely witchcraft. I'm gonna go find Corvo.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like Corvo would know about this. People said there was a lot of witchcraft involved with, like, the coup that he was in. And, like, he kind of bites your head off if you ask him about it, but, like, whatever.
It's so funny.
I know, it's like, I bet, like, people are always, like, asking him, it's like, so, hey, Corvo. And he's like, I don't fucking want to talk about it, thank you.
My wife is dead!
Like, I'm not over it, there's no therapy here, so please leave me alone.
Yeah, so she says that, and then we cut to Corvo, who's all bandaged up. The boy who saved him is holding the mask, and he's talking about, like, how heavy it is, and why do you wear it? And Corvo's like, I'm trying to fuck who I am, like, it's useful.
Yeah, like, some assholes gave it to me, but, like, hey, listen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it, like, continues to, like, to cut back and forth between Corvo and Martha. Martha goes to Coldridge Prison.
Which is great. Love Coldridge.
Love it. Never had a bad time there. And they take her to the heretic cells, which I assume is, like, the worst part of the prison where they put all the people they couldn't kill.
It's, like, dark and there's, like, no lighting here. It's, like, this is a bad idea, guys, but okay.
Yeah.
She's here to talk to Esmeralda Duggins.
Yes. She almost introduces herself to Esmeralda and then doesn't. And very interestingly, Esmeralda's like, oh, you remembered not to give me your name, huh?
Which has never been introduced as, like, a lore thing in this, but that's fine.
I think it's okay because Esmeralda continues on. She's like, you know, look at you. Like, you're clearly from Sirkonos. You can try to hide it. But long ago, someone warned you never to give your name up to witches. Which I think is really interesting because Sirkonos is always, like, put up as this place where, like, black magic and witchery and, like, heretical stuff is, like, a lot stronger. Presumably because of, like, the coup and whatever happened and whatever reason all of the, like, Empire's Isles are under an empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in Dishonored 2, when you go to Sirkonos, like, you can see a lot of, like, the overseers there. But, like, it's really clear that they haven't, like, been there for a super long time. Like, they're definitely like, hello, we are Christians. Would you like our religion?
Yeah, it's definitely, like, an imperialism thing happening.
Yeah. So, like, I do think this is really interesting. That it's like, oh, yeah. You are from Sirkonos, you've been told, like, you've been warned, you've heard the tales. What I just think is super interesting, because we don't know a lot about Sirkonos at this point.
We do not. Apparently they have spices, which Dunwall doesn't, which Corvo and Beatrice talked about.
That's true, that's what Sirkonos has.
But yeah, basically, Esmeralda, like, continues to be weird at her, and Martha's like, listen, I can go, and Esmeralda's like, please don't, like, it's a cursed on us void touch, cruelty runs through us. It's like, actually, I think you're just mean.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with the void, I think you're just like this.
This is, once again, everyone just blames everything on the outsider. Like, no, you could be a bitch all on your own.
Yeah. So yeah, Esmeralda's like, you know, show me what you want to show me, and then shoves her face against the bars, and her eyes are just, like, fucking burned out.
Which is great.
Delicious.
And so basically, Martha gives her the scrap of the canvas, and basically kind of, it, like, cuts away, and she's basically like, yeah, like, the lady told me what I needed to know, and I, like, promised to help her, but, like, we both, knew, like, help her get a commuted sentence or whatever, but, like, we both knew that I was lying and that she's gonna be dead, like, within the week, so that's fine.
Yeah, I also think something I really liked is Martha's like, you know, I'll see if I can get, like, your sentence lifted, and Esmeralda, like, thanks her with kind words, and then Martha thinks, like, we both know the falseness of each other's promises.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was really interesting, that, like, Esmeralda's also lying here by saying, like, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
It's really good. Now we're going back to Corvo. He and the boy... He and the boy have, like, run into the sewers after Sly Harold and Dapper Ronald?
I don't remember. Well, because they, like, showed up to wherever they were holed up, and, like, the kid, like, pulled out a gun and was, like, about to, like, try to fuck with them, and Corvo was like, do not. Like, you're a small child. Like, you don't need to be doing that shit right now. Let's just go.
Yeah, and they escape into the sewers. And the boy is making Sokolov's elixir.
Because Corvo gave him the recipe.
Yeah. And one of the things Corvo says is that, like, the kid is like, oh, your wounds are healing well. And Corvo's like, yeah, I'm hard to kill. And then, like, the thought bubble under that is, you know, like, that's another gift from the void. But I don't
know. Which is wild.
If he's talking about being hard to kill or that his wounds are healing faster.
I assumed, like, both.
Yeah, it was, like, really interesting. I was like, wow.
I mean, I was thinking about that. It's, like, that's kind of, like, gameplay-wise, it's, like, that you can there's, like, that thing you can buy with runes that's, like, vitality, which gives you extra health.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of like that.
That's so interesting. Okay, I like that a lot. So, yeah, so he and the boy are chatting. The boy's name is Milo. What a lovely name.
And his mother's name is Beatrice.
Yes. So he's
Corvo's nephew.
Corvo's nephew, yeah. He doesn't know exactly what happened to his mother, but he tells Corvo that, like, he was taken captive, and Corvo's like, it's probably because I'm the fucking royal protector.
Like, damn, I probably made all these problems for you, sorry.
Yeah, so they're just chilling, and Corvo's like, you know, my sister, like, might be alive and being kept alive to be used against me, and he's like, cool, let's go find her.
Like, let's go find her, I have no qualms about this whatsoever, this situation isn't at all weird. So that's fine. Come back to Martha.
Yeah. Martha is standing in front of a burning building, and everyone around her is like, oh my god, it's witchcraft. And she's standing there like, it smells like fucking whale oil.
Like, this is just a fire. Like, not every fire is witchcraft, okay?
Yeah. So she goes and runs into the burning building to help people out. And it turns out this is where Esmeralda led them, and Martha brought the city watch, and it was a trap.
Right, Alexi's like, listen, it's fine, but you should just go the fuck home.
Yeah, she's like, you know, like, I don't know if Corvo's gonna give you a medal or send you to Coleridge, so, like, just go home.
Yeah, and Martha kind of, like, wants to go find him, but Alexi's like, I don't fucking know where he is. I never know where he is, because that's, like, he's just everywhere all the time.
Yeah, she's, like, basically, you know, he's really unorthodox. Like, you're not gonna be able to find him. Which is so funny, so I guess that this man is, like, not beholden to, like, laws.
I know, well, it's, like, his place in the org chart is just, like, way out, so it's, like, I guess he can just do whatever he wants.
Yeah, who's gonna, like, prison him? His daughter, the Empress? I don't think so.
Like, yeah, you can, like, okay. It's, like, I guess that's how you get away with being such a rude motherfucker.
Yeah, so Martha starts walking home. Two men follow her. They are, in fact, Sly Harold and Dapple Rodney.
And they keep referring to each other as such. It's great.
Yes.
And they're, like, trying to sneak up on her, but they, like, basically Martha sneaks up on them, and, like, it wasn't totally clear to me what she was doing. She was, like, hanging from a light post with, like, two guns out.
Yeah, she just, like, swings down and, like, points two guns at them. She's like, hey, tell me what you know. And they're like, damn.
It was very cool. And then it cuts from that back to a mysterious witch lady.
Yes.
Who's doing a painting.
Yes. She is doing a painting. She and the ball guy talk about Broken Tom, who wants to kill Atado, and the woman's like, no, we need to wait. We have our orders. Corvo needs to chase his lost sister and a boy who never existed. It's a shame. He was my finest piece of work.
Yeah, like, my finest piece of work. And then it zooms in on the painting, which is, like, a mother and, like, her child, but, like, the child's, like, totally, like,
it's just, like,
just done all
void.
In black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's fine, probably.
It's fine.
As we all know, paintings are totally fine.
And that's the end of issue 3. So now we're going to issue 4, which
issue
starts...
Issue 4, which is the last one.
The last one.
Comics go fast.
They really do. But also we consolidated this for you guys. It's like very much like they just really do keep going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I think they do it mostly because like Corvo and Martha keep thinking the same thoughts, but like... It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's like usually like the scenes are like parallels to each other, which is good framing, but hard to talk about on a podcast. but yeah, but it cut the start of issue 4. It like cuts to Martha and she's like talking to the dapper Ron, etc. And
Sly Harold.
Sorry, yeah. And she's like, okay, explain it to me again. And then they like explain it to you, the viewer, that basically weapons were being smuggled into Dunwall like on purpose to cause like to cause chaos, to be like a diversion. And she's from like from what? And they're like,
Yeah, that's pretty much the letter. Like, we don't know. People are interested in bone charms.
Yeah, and so it's like that's how they've been paying with for the weapons.
Yeah. And then they both attack Martha. She promptly shoots one of them in the head and the other in the heart.
I know. It, well, because she, like, shoots one of them, and then the other one, like, goes for her and is like, hey, that was my best friend. She's like, damn it, I should have shot the other one first.
I also think it's really funny. The guy's like, that was my best friend. We grew up together. And she's like, and now you're going to die together.
Yeah, it's, like, it's actually an incredible thing to say. Thank you, Martha.
It's so fucking funny. I had to sit back and go, oh my god, she's an icon.
Ice cold. Like, yeah. No sympathy whatsoever.
So, yeah, so the second guy is basically bleeding out, and Martha's near him, like, so, like, would, like, the witches want these? And he's like, yeah, I don't know why, though, but I think they're looking for Corvo Atano, who you haven't seen lately, have ya? I'm just like, fuck.
God damn it. Yeah, and it's like, boss. When she's interrogating him, she's like, don't you, like, listen, I've heard that it's, like, bad to go to the void with secrets, and he's like, yeah, I've heard that that's bullshit, fuck you.
It's so funny. And so, yeah, so basically, also, yeah. The scene ends with her being like, shit, I fucking better find Corvo Atano, there's a whole plot out to get him.
Meanwhile, Corvo is just chilling with his nephew.
Yeah, they're stealing a boat.
Yeah, that's, you know, good bonding activity.
Good bonding activity. So yeah, they steal a boat. They're trying to find Beatrice. He fights a bunch of people. Milo is like, don't you want your mask, uncle? And he's like, no, I'm going to be fucking Corvo Atano for this.
Like, listen, they're going to know who fucking murders them. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we go back to Martha, she's
fucking bleeding.
Yeah, she is super, super injured. And she's trying to find Corvo. But she does not do that. She gets a little bit kidnapped.
Yeah, she rolls up to, like, where is Corvo right now? I don't remember. But she, oh, it's, like, some whaling, I don't know. It basically, she rolls up to wherever she thinks Corvo is, and basically almost gets mugged by a bunch of gang members, but then the bald guy comes and is like, actually, this one's mine, and just kidnaps her.
Yeah, it's wild. God, we're really getting into the meat of this. So she wakes up, and the painting lady is there. Painting her little picture.
And it's like, well, this is never good.
Yeah. The lady is like, we've been watching you, Martha Coddings, which, you know, not a great first introduction, because it started off much better. Basically, she's like, oh, you know, like, it's such a shame Corvo isn't going to know how good an apprentice you almost were, because you're going to die. Don't worry, I'm an apprentice too. I work for this lady named Delilah.
Yeah, there's like a nice little painting of Delilah behind her. And now you may think, hey, shouldn't Delilah be dead or stuck in a painting? Well, I guess she still has apprentices. That's fine.
Seems like that's not going to stop her.
Seems like Delilah is too cool for death and or a painting to hold back.
So yeah, this is all, like, really, again, very confusing because it's a comic, but basically this lady is giving exposition on the trap Corvo just walked into.
Yeah, and then as she's giving this exposition, you see him walking into this trap because that is not his nephew, which I'm sure is shocking.
Yeah. So, yeah, Broken Tom shows up, starts to beat Corvo up. Not great. But then, oh, how the tables have turned. Corvo beats Broken Tom up.
Yeah, he just, like, kicks his shit in and basically, like,
he, like, carves the bone charms out of his body.
Really gross. Yeah, the narration is basically like, listen, like, I don't need, like, my magic, like, I grew up in fucking Cirkonos. I know how to fight. Fuck you.
I really like Corfa.
He's very fun at this.
Yeah. And so while all this is happening, the painting lady says she created Corvo Otano's nephew out of dreams and paint and magic.
It made me really sad because it's like, so this kid, like, thinks he's real.
Yeah, the kid has no idea. That's, like, the important part. It's like, the kid really thinks he's Corvo Otano's nephew. He doesn't know that he was only created, like, 5 days ago.
Yeah, like, he's not lying. He believes the things he's saying.
Yeah. So Martha's like, you know, that's batshit crazy. I think I'm gonna go.
And the lady's like, well, actually, I'm gonna, like, paint you and, like, make you be my servant, and then you're gonna be, like, my, like, whatever, eyes and ears on the watch.
It's, like, really creepy. She's like, in a few minutes, you'll be good as new. Just with a few changes. Can you see it? Can you feel it? The essence of who you are changing with every stroke? Damn.
It sucks. Well, it's, what, this, like, painting magic shit is so cool, and it's, like, slightly different than what Delilah did in, like, Brickmore Witches.
Yeah.
Like, thinking about her being able to, like, do this and, like, create, like, basically, like, automatons or whatever, like, from, like, by painting people is, like, terrifying.
Yeah.
Because I don't want Delilah to have that power.
It is really terrifying. And, like, yeah, the lady's like, you know, by the time the paint dries, like, you'll be a new person. And Martha's like, what about now?
Bad. Yeah, she's like, actually, I want to, like, I'm going to, like, save, like, the Empress, like, with my last breath, and, like, starts drawing something out of her coat.
Yeah. And while this is happening, so Corvo has cut Broken Tom apart and just, like, fucking shoves the sword through his sternum. He's realized that Broken Tom is, like, made to fight him specifically.
Yeah.
And he starts to question his poor nephew, Milo, knowing that that is not his nephew. And it's really sad because Milo's sitting there like, I don't know, Uncle. It's all really blurry.
Yeah, and, like, he thinks, like, he's basically thinking, like, man, this, like, this trap was, like, perfect for, like, if I was being the royal protector, I would have caught on to this trap, but I wasn't being the royal protector, I was being Corvo Otano, who, like, misses his sister.
Yeah. So that's really sad. Martha takes out a fucking knife.
And she throws it, and, like, the witch lady's like, hey, like, you bald dude, protect me. But she wasn't throwing it at her, she was throwing it at the painting.
Yeah, she throws it, and she hits a lamp, which explodes, and all of the paintings start to burn, including Milo starts to burn. So
he, in real life, where he is with Corvo, like, is, like, on fire, and it's awful.
It is so,
I hated it.
So sad. He's like, Uncle Corvo, what's happening to me? And, like, Corvo holds him while he dies and, like, turns into ashes and says, like, goodbye, nephew.
Nephew. And it makes me so miserable.
So sad.
It was, I felt so sad
for all of them. I was like, this poor boy, poor Corvo.
Poor Corvo.
That was, like, essentially, basically his nephew.
Like, yeah, it's like, that kid thought he was his nephew. Like, they had, like, cute bonding. It was,
It was
ugh.
So...
Dishonor sucks.
Sad. And the last scene is back to Martha. The bald guy and the painting lady have presumably just burned. Martha's sitting there waiting to die, because she's...
Yeah, she dove out of the way behind the couch.
Yeah. But she's seriously injured and is gonna die. And out of, like, the burning paintings comes this, like, glowing portal, and someone steps through it. Martha is like, what the fuck? What the actual fuck? Who the fuck are you?
Like, my name is Billy Lurk.
Oh!
And everyone reading this is like, excuse me? And she's like, you're not gonna die today, Martha. Come with me. And Martha's like, what?
And, very important point, Billy, who steps through the portal, has, like, a glowing red eye, and her right arm is, like, an eldritch horror prosthetic. It's, like...
Yeah, and she has a different haircut than she did in, when's the last time we saw her, Knife of Dunwall?
Yeah, she has a different haircut than Knife of Dunwall.
And she's, basically, she's, like, Martha's, like, where are we going? And Billy's, like, to another time.
The fucking wildest shit. I cannot believe in the last 5 pages of this comic, they're like, so, like, what about time travel?
Well, what's bizarre, like, what's crazy to me is, like, I know where this is going, but I only because I read a book that came out 2 years later.
See, like, I don't know where it's going because I haven't read that book. And when I read this 2 years ago, I was like, what the fuck?
It's just like, yeah, it's very, I really wonder what people like thought what the fuck was happening here. Because it's like, this is the last issue of the comic. This is the end. You don't even like see what Corvo does after this. It's like, well, Martha Cottings just walked off into, to time travel somewhere with Billy Lurk, who I guess can time travel now.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane.
It's wild. It did, something for the, now that I've read this comic, the Veiled Terror makes so much more sense.
I can't wait to get there, because I haven't read that one.
It'll be great, because now I have to read it again, and now I won't mind as much. it's also going to be the last thing we ever do in this podcast.
Wow, that is depressing.
R.I.P. Unless they make Dishonored 3, which they should.
I think they should.
But yeah, that's the Wormwood Deceit, I guess.
It's, like, so sad. Like, most of it is, like, I wouldn't call this a good comic, but, like, the last... The last 15 pages were so sad. Yeah. I was really just like, oh my god, this poor boy. Like, he thinks he's found his family. I know, Corvo thinks he's found his family that he thought disappeared 40 years ago, and he's found another bit of his family, and the boy just burns.
Well, and because the boy, like, told him a story where he was like, oh, like, Beatrice, like, got on a boat to, like, go leave, and it's like, well... and Corvo was like, finally, I don't know where she is right now, but I kind of know what happened to my sister. And it's like, well, actually, you don't. Like, you don't know if anything he told you is true. Like, maybe
you still
she just,
have
like,
no
maybe
idea.
She, like, maybe she didn't get on a boat. Maybe she got kidnapped. Like, maybe any of these things happened to her. And it's like, this sucks.
It's so sad.
So, yeah. So, fuck Claire for making me read this. It's sad.
You are welcome.
But yeah, otherwise as a comic, it's, like, nothing really happens until the last section.
Yeah, I don't know, it's, like, really weird, because it's, like, I don't really know what it was trying to, like, do? I mean, it
yeah,
only...
Because the end is setting up something that, like, doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, and it's, like, we didn't need this woman to do weird shit with paintings, because we've played The Knife of Dunwall, and we know what happens there.
And yeah, like, I guess it's just kind of the pre-Dishonored too, like, hey, I think Delilah's still a problem. just true. Delilah's still
is.
A problem. And I guess it's, like, kind of being like, hey, maybe Billy Lurk isn't gone forever.
Yeah. I mean, it is absolutely
which I appreciate.
Batshit wild, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this, yeah, and it's, like, I knew kind of that, like, because you had told me that the end of this comic was going to be Billy Lurk showing up, and I kept being like, how the fuck is that going to happen? This doesn't seem to be leading to that at all.
Yes, I did not tell you that it was going to happen through portal, like, a time portal. I did not mention that at all. Yeah. God, I can't believe we have to read The Corroded Man next. I still haven't done it.
Yeah, so, yeah, next we're going to fucking do The Corroded Man, which is a whole ass book.
I have to assume it's going to take us a couple of episodes, so we could read it in parts.
Yeah, we'll just see how much we actually read in the next week, because I have to finish... Also, I, in the past 2 days, have read, like, 60 chapters of Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles.
That's
which
my fault.
Bring up on this which is Claire's fault, which is part of why I bring it up. I also bring it up because that's, like that's a manga, and I kept trying to read this comic, this American comic, backwards. And it was, like, killing me. Like, damn it.
Well, you, like, went through that really fast, so I'm sure you'll probably finish Tsubasa, like, tomorrow.
Probably. I mean, I'm gonna read it after this. Anyway, Tsubasa's Buckwild, everybody. You should read it.
Wow. Setting up our next podcast, Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles recap.
That would actually be fun. I think I would die.
That would be bad shit wild. We're not
no,
doing
next,
that.
No, next we have to do the Whirlwinds with you, since you're finally playing it.
Oh, yeah. I still have to play Prey. Mm-hmm. There's a lot I still have to do.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't believe you still haven't played Prey.
I know.
It's been a year.
I know. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's the word with deceit. Shit's wild in Dunwall.
Oh, God. Next is The Corroded Man. Let's read half of it. Let's shoot for half.
Okay. Let's read. Yeah, I'll just, yeah. Okay. That sounds fine.
Okay.
Let's next week find out if we actually read that much of it.
What are your social medias?
Oh, fuck, right. We have to sign off this podcast.
Yeah, we have to end it. This is the proof that it's been 3 months since we've done this.
It's been so long. Anyway, I'm Sarah. You can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. You can find the podcast also on Twitter at Drunken Whalers. We might have to take all the numbers out of our episode titles or what the fuck ever.
No, they emailed me and they were like, we're not going to remove your episodes if they have numbers. I was like, fuck you guys.
That whole thing was so funny. Anyway, where are you on the internet, Claire?
You can find me at Surrealist Trees on Twitter, and that's it. I'm nowhere else.
No, you have your Secret Kingdom Hearts account.
Oh, well, you didn't rev your Secret Kingdom Hearts account.
It's because it's locked. Also, no one needs to... Okay, anyway, where's our music from?
Our music is Goosebeak Whale by Alps, and I will put the link to that in the show notes description.
All right, bye. Come back in 2 weeks for a book report.
Bye.